Tonight I'd like to look at the 103rd Psalm and to consider again the soul, this time just so simply, O my soul. O my soul. You know, so many times we consider some of these things that are open to every soul, and certainly the word applies to every soul. But it's so good when we come to a time to make it personal, O my soul. Not the soul of the individual next to me, my wife or my husband, or my children, or my dad, or my mother, but O my soul. And perhaps it could be said of this psalm, I believe someone's already said it, that this is a psalm of a harp that's been retuned. It's the psalm of a life, of a soul that's been out of order, and then with all the strings loosed, the key begins to be put to them so it's tightened up and melody begins to flow. Let's read the psalm. It has 22 verses, a verse for each letter in the alphabet. And it begins with bless the Lord, and it ends with bless the Lord. And so we could say here that we have the fullness in the full sense of the Alpha and the Omega. It begins and ends with a note of blessing God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He maketh known His ways unto Moses, and His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we're but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excelleth in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Precious word. Blessed instruction. Bless the Lord. You know, so many times we think of how the Lord has blessed us. And we think of the gifts and the things that He's given. And we rejoice in them, and rightly so. But many times we ought to sit down and say, how can we bless God? How do we bless the Lord? Is there some gift that I could bring God to make Him greater? No, the heavens are His. He spoke to things and He brought them into being. I couldn't make Him better or greater or more generous in anything that I brought to Him or anything that I could do for Him, except I could bring to His own heart a blessing by blessing God. There is one way that God can enjoy the believer, and that's through the believer blessing God. He says, "All thy works shall praise thee, but thy saints shall bless thee." Huh? All the creative works of God will praise Him. They praise Him for His very creative act. In all the perfections, they praise Him. Have you ever thought about the perfections of that universe? I suppose there aren't too many of you here who were pilots. But I was. And I used to fly, all over this continent and before then over in New Guinea. I didn't fly in New Guinea as a pilot, but I flew as a co-pilot over there. I was the line chief of Far East Air Service Command for a while. And sometimes I was short on crews, and I would go out as a co-pilot or a gunner or something like that. And so I can remember of sometimes flying in that black Pacific. And boy, nights can get pretty dark. You know, in our country, we've got all kinds of radio waves. I can tune in a low-frequency or a high-frequency radio, or I had here when I flew in the States a transmitter and receiver with 180 channels that I could just click buttons and pick out what I wanted, any place in the country I went. And I had all the navigational aids, had little dials that would tell me when I'm going to a station, when I'd passed over it, it would flip onto the from side of it. I had an omni range that I could fly into a range station from any direction and get a bearing anyway. See, in the States, had everything here. But out there in the war years, when we flew from the Philippines or from New Guinea to the Philippines, there wasn't any. There were the Palau Islands, our gas stop in between. And you know, those islands were blacked out. And I can remember many nights of seeing that navigator up there in that little celestial dome. And he's got his little instrument and he's shooting some of the stars. And he picks one over here and one over there. And there's Arcturus and the Pleiades. And he could shoot them all. He'd lay them out on his chart, had published charts. And when he laid those bearings that he got to those stars on that chart for any given day of the year, they would say, "Here's your spot when the lines intersected." And I remember some nights of sitting there and watching him do it and say, "Oh Lord, I'm sure glad you made those in a perfect path, a perfect path." I remember how it used to thrill my heart to look up and to see those stars and to know that if that navigator did his work right, we'd know exactly where we were. Men can fail, but God doesn't. And He failed one time. He went up and took some bearings on some places to get us an idea of where we were. We were going into the Philippines before it was completely liberated. And I remember of him saying to the pilot, "You're about 15 degrees off course." And the captain looked at him and he said, "Smitty, you're crazy." He said, "No, I'm not. You've been getting a lot of wind drift, and you just don't appreciate how far you've drifted off course." And the captain looked at his charts again and figured out his time and distance, and he said, "Okay, Smitty, you're the navigator, and I'm going to believe you, but you hadn't better be wrong." Well, we picked up those 15 degrees, and as far out as we were, couple hours, that would make quite a distance in that number of degrees out there. And so when we started to come into the islands, Smitty saw some ships down in the harbor, and he said, "See, there you are. See those ships down there?" He says, "That's Tatlobin." So the captain says, "Okay, Smitty," and he starts letting down. But you know, we got in a little closer, and all of a sudden some of those white puffs start coming in the air. And the Ak-Ak started flying, and we knew that wasn't Tacloban, that was Mindanao. And boy, that pilot just headed that thing for the deck for the water to get out of the range of the Ak-Ak where they couldn't touch it. You see, God put them in a perfect place, unchangeable. But man taking the look could fail. And you know, so many times I think that's the way our hearts are toward God. Instead of seeing holy, perfect God and taking Him at His very word, we say, oh, but God, couldn't we go off just this much? Maybe it isn't that path at all. Oh, but you know, if we're going to bless God, you know what we have to do? We have to bless Him in our conscience. That's first. A conscience that is not going to change. A conscience that unvarying. A conscience that stands in fidelity to God. And you know, He tells us that if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence with God. And certainly in a place like that, when we're resting in God in our conscience, our heart hasn't condemned us. Oh, and we stand in a place of infidelity, and we stand that way for God, we'll bless God in our lives. Oh, you see, God has given us a voice inwardly to warn us when we go astray. It's a sad thing that sometimes our consciences become seared, don't they? Apostle spoke of a seared conscience. You know what that is? Do you ever work with any electrical things, soldering iron, or things hot? And you noticed at first when you begin to pick them up, they were kind of hot and they burnt your fingers. And after you worked with them for a while, pretty soon your fingertips got calloused and they got hard. And then you could pick up things hotter and hotter all the time. And as you picked them up and the hands got hardened, that's the way a conscience can get. You see, if we don't stand with a tender conscience to respond to God when His voice speaks to us, and we go our own way. Time after time, we can go that way until pretty soon we've got a seared conscience. But how good it is when the conscience is tender and we answer to it, we stand to what God has said. We bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in your memory. You know, isn't it funny? We're funny people. We can remember what we want to remember and forget what we want to forget. We can remember, if we've got one of those inward hearts that can remember the bad things, oh boy, we can go back through the years, and I've listened in my days to people do it. To brethren, sad to say, who have been at odds with one another and can go back and back and back and remember when and remember when and remember when you said that. Oh boy. But you ask them how many good things they could remember. What if I was to ask you how many Christmas presents you got last year? Even this year, could you remember them just like that? The good things you received. But if I ask you what went wrong Christmas Day, was somebody cross to you? Oh, bless your heart, we'd remember that, wouldn't we? Isn't it strange what we really are? But you know, if we're going to bless God, we didn't need a memory of God's dealings with us. Of God's dealings with us. I'm going to go back. Book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, this comes to mind. You know, with the children of Israel, as He led them through the wilderness, God had purposes in His leading. And He says in verse 2 of chapter 8, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." He said, remember it. Oh, but man, some of those are bad things, Lord. We remember when we were thirsty, and we remember when we were hungry, and we remember when those serpents came. Oh, but do you remember, Israel, when you were thirsty? And the water flowed out of the rock, and it followed you. Do you remember, Israel, when you murmured, and you were hungry, and I put the manna with the dew every morning? You remember my faithfulness, Israel? for all those years it was there? Oh yes, Lord, but sometimes it tasted like fresh oil. And you know why it did that? Because they weren't satisfied with it the way God gave it. They had to take it and grind it. They had to boil it. They had to do everything to it. They weren't satisfied, and pretty soon it tasted like fresh oil. You like fresh oil? It makes me do something the minute I get a whiff of it. But you see, oh, they could remember that. Tasted like fresh oil. They could remember the serpents. But he says, remember Israel. Moses put a pole there. A brazen serpent that healed everyone that looked. Do you remember that, Israel? Now, beloved, God has led us in the way. Some of you here are gray heads in the Lord, that have had not only 80, but 85 and some more. And you've gone a long path that God has led thee. Do you remember His dealings with you? Do you remember them? You remember the trial, but do you remember how He dealt with you? Have you been on a bed of affliction? And when you were laying there, you said, oh Lord, thanks for bringing me here and dealing with me. And because you've done this, I will do thus and so. And when you left the bed and you got up, you went your own way. And you forgot His dealing. A benefit. Huh? He says He daily loads us with benefits. You know, when I was a young man, I never appreciated any of those things. I could never see any trial as a blessing. I could never do that. It wasn't until He really gave me some lumps and I learned what a little hurt was that I could look back in my life and say, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you know, as I stand here this very night, I can remember back to days that were hard and difficult days as a boy who grew and thought nobody loved him. But when I was about 10 years old, He showed me there was a heavenly Father that would never forsake me like my earthly father did. And He showed me there was one that loved me with an eternal love. That's what broke my heart. Huh? You know, it wasn't till then that I knew the benefit, was it? Wasn't till then that I knew the reason of the longing heart. And then I found it. And you know, many times as we go on in our lifetime, we forget. He says, remember. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. My soul. I can't bless God for your soul. God wants your soul to bless Him. To bless Him in your conscience. Bless Him in your memory. Bless Him in your imagination. You ever let your imagination run in a holy vein? In a holy vein. And meditate the grace of our God. My, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To sit and to meditate upon God. And to let your mind run directed by the Spirit. Remembering what He's done and what He will do. What He will do. We haven't seen yet the blessings that God's given to us, have we? No, but my mind is sometimes almost stymied when I come to that place and say, what will it be when I enter into the glory? What will it be when I first see His face? What will touch my inwardmost being? And then I think, will it be the prints of the nails in His hand? And will I remember Calvary? Calvary. Oh, I'm sure I will. He says in the book of Revelation, there's one who sits on the throne in chapter 4. But then He shows me the one in the midst of the throne, a lamb as it had been newly slain. And we're going to bless God. We're going to bless God with a heart that will be filled to overflowing, for what He's accomplished for us. Have you ever let your imagination run to those first moments in glory? Remember a little girl in the city of Milwaukee who was dying. She was put her trust in the Lord Jesus at Lake Geneva, and she went home. And that winter she began to wither away from cancer. She was only 12 years old, and so I went to visit her. And she said, "Oh, Uncle Ray, how'll I know the Lord Jesus? How'll I know Him when I get there? There'll be so many there." And I could say, "Honey, you'll know Him by the prints of the nails in His hand." That's how Israel's going to know Him when He comes back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They shall say, "Whence came these wounds in thine hands?" And He'll say, "They are they I received in the house of my friend." And I could say to her, "Honey, you just look for a glorified man, not a vague spirit. A man with a glory above all men." Oh, I'm so glad there's a man in the glory. Ah, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless Him with your desires. You know, when we desire things here, we can bless God if we desire with a holy desire. And if we love with a holy love. If we desire to love all that He loves. All that He loves. Saints, listen a moment. Do you love all that God loves? Brothers and sisters in this assembly, do you love all that God loves? If you do, that's bless the Lord in your desires. Bless the Lord, all my soul. To love what He loves, to love who He loves, and to love in the way He loves. A forgiving way, sometimes it requires that, doesn't it? I remember counselors at camp. You know, it's easy when you counsel at camp to find the nice kids and somehow kind of take to those nice kids, isn't it? It's the same way in the assembly. It's easy to love the lovely ones. It's a little harder to love me, though, see? To love the lovely is easy. And I used to tell the counselors at camp, you find those kids that are little brats and you love them. You love them with all that your heart will give. And you'll see God do a work. Too many times we go for the lovely and the lovable. But you know, He loved. He loved me when I was unlovely. I remember a dear brother. Matter of fact, his sister's here tonight. And I can remember one time when we shared a conference together. And we walked outside the chapel. When we got outside, he turned to speak to me. And the tears streamed down his cheeks. And he said, "Ray, I can't help but praise God for you." He said, "When I remember back as you were a boy." Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a wonderful thing when God can take vessels that don't seem fit for anybody and mold them and make them meet for His own use. Do you desire to love all that He loves? Do you bless the Lord with your hope? Do you bless Him with your hope? What's your hope tonight? What's your hope? Is your hope in a better job? Is your hope in that the government gives you a little raise in your Social Security retirement? Is your hope that it will stretch out to the end of your days? Or is your hope in the Lord? 1 Timothy 1:1. Christ is our hope. How we bless God when our hope is in Him. What an anchor we have there for the soul when our hope is in Him. And how it blesses God to see His saints have their hope in His Son. What a blessing to God. But He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Not for me to bless God with your soul. That you'll have to do yourself. It's my soul that must bless God. And so it brings us to the point where every one of us need to bless God in our lives. And we will bless Him in that blessed memory when we forget not all His benefits. And we remember what some of those are. Past, present, and future. And we remember that He forgives. He forgives. Could you say tonight, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's forgiven you. Oh, you know, you can't go on with the other blessings till you take up with this blessing. To know your sins forgiven. As you sit here this evening, can you bless God in the forgiveness of sins? Because He's forgiven them. Oh, what sense? Your iniquities. Oh, He's blessed He's forgiven our iniquities. He's forgiven our rebellion against Him. I'm amazed at the psalmist as many times as he uses the three descriptions of sin. He gives it to us in sin and in transgression and in iniquity. And in the 32nd Psalm, again a Psalm of David, he brings that to us in those verses right in the beginning of that Psalm. And here he's talking about a man that's blessed as an individual. And he said, blessed is the man whose transgression is taken off. Or, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. There you have the three of them again. And it seems, if we were just to take a quick look, we could say sin was coming short of the mark of God. Sin is missing God's mark of holiness. Transgression being out of step with God. And iniquity, rebellion against God. And if we take a look at those, it seems to me that God uses the word iniquity when He wants to show us the horrendousness of our offenses against Him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes are we healed. It's a blessed man who knows forgiveness. And that's a man who will bless God because he's been forgiven. And then he's a man that's going to bless God because He's healed all thy diseases. Now remember, the psalmist is speaking of the soul. He is not speaking of the body. We cannot say of our body, He healeth all our diseases. We've got many people saying today, it's not God's will that man should be sick. And so there must be something wrong if you're going through an illness. Or you ought to find some healer or something else. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. He heals the disease of the soul. And if you want an idea of what the disease of the soul will do to you, go and read that 32nd Psalm. He said His bones roared within Him, that He was dry as a drought of summer. His body ached because His soul was in trouble because of sin. And sin will affect the whole body. Sin affects the total being. And now when there needs to be a cure, have you ever seen a man in drunkenness? And then see him turn to Christ. Suddenly he begins to radiate something. The joy of the Lord that he senses as a disease is healed. But it's a disease of sin. Well, I know our society wants to say drunkenness, alcoholism is a sickness. It's a sickness, all right. It's a sickness of the soul. It's sin. And it's a sin that affects the body. And when we can rejoice is when we've been forgiven and have the understanding that He's healed the disease of sin, a disease that makes the whole body ache in pain. And when we have that, as you know David did, he confessed his sin and he didn't hide it. And he said, "Thou forgavest me all my iniquity." It's wonderful. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not the benefits of forgiveness. Forget not the health of a diseased soul healed." That's health. A healthy soul. "Don't forget you've been redeemed. He redeemeth thy life from the pit." What's it mean to be redeemed? To be redeemed means to be bought back. It means to be bought out of a market with the idea of never being resold again. It means to be bought with the idea of being set free. Totally set free. Think you have a picture of it. In a man on a slave market being sold. And as he's up there and being auctioned off, a gentleman comes along and he takes up bidding for the slave. And as he bids, the bid goes higher and higher. And as it goes up, the gentleman bids, puts the bid up again. Until finally, the slave turns and he begins to look at him and curse him. "How could you, a gentleman, bid for a slave? One educated in your own country." And finally he buys the slave and the auctioneer brings him over to him. He gives him the keys to the shackles. And the slave stands there cursing the man. But the gentleman takes the key. He unlocks the shackles and he drops them at his feet. And he said, "I bought you to set you free." And then the slave responds. He falls on his knees before him and he says, "Master, I'll serve you forever." You know, when Christ bought us from the slave market of sin, he bought us with the idea of setting us free. And now in that liberty and in that freedom, we can bless the Lord, forgetting not all his benefits, but remembering that he redeems us from the pit. Now, he gives us a crown. A crown. A crown of, what does he say? "He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. An incorruptible crown, lined with the love and the kindness of our God. And on that crown, the jewels of tenderness and mercy." Tenderness and mercy. And now when we stand in that place, he satisfies. He satisfies our souls with good things. The mouth is what we take in things for the body. And so he satisfies the soul with good things. And as the soul is satisfied in the sense that we looked things last night, then that soul is brought to the place to bless God. We can bless Him because all His ways are known. He made His ways known unto Moses and His acts to the children of men, or the children of Israel. Who knew His ways? Moses did. The children of Israel knew His acts, but Moses knew His way. It was Moses that was taken up into the mount. It was Moses that saw the face of God. It was Moses that saw the glory of God. It was Moses that got the instruction from God as to His ways with Israel. Moses knew Him because he was in that close place with Him. Moses said to Him one day, and I believe he blessed God in this. He said, "Lord, let me see Your glory." He'd seen Israel. He'd seen the sin, and maybe Moses' soul was sick with Esau. And so he said, "Lord, let me see Your glory." And God said, "Okay, Moses, there's a place by me." He said, "I'll set your feet on a rock, and I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you over with my hand. And as I pass by, you can look on my back parts and see my glory, for no man could look upon God and live. And you know the place that he put Moses in was a place that every believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ, on the rock, by him. And certainly that's where he put us, on the rock. And then he hid us in the cleft of the rock, for it was through the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, the rock cleft, that you and I had a hiding place. He put us in that hiding place, and he covers us over with his hand. And then we see his glory. We saw it in his Son. That ought to bring our heart to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. As men, he says, we're but dust. As men, we're frail. As men, we're as the flower of the grass. We feed on grass, and we can't be any stronger than grass, can we? We feed on the grass of the field. And so if that's our food, that's our strength. And so he said, the grass is going to wither and blow away. And he said, that's the way a man is. That's the way a man is. Oh, but the mercies of the Lord, they endure forever. They're from everlasting to everlasting. And it's of his mercies that we're not consumed. He takes our sin because of his mercy. And he said he put it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Can you bless the Lord for that? And to remembrance what he's done with your sin, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do you see the heavens and the magnitudes of the heavens? Bless the Lord. They will praise him. But now he wants your soul and mine to bless him. Let me ask you first. Are your sins forgiven? Do you know they're forgiven? Do you know that he's healed the disease of soul? Do you know that? It'd be a good thing to make sure of that before you left tonight. Before you left tonight. Before you walked out of the door to say, yes, Lord, I will bless thee by the faith I'll put in your Son and the work that he did at Calvary. A work of forgiveness of sin. A work of healing a sin-sick soul and a work of redemption. And thank you, Lord, for crowning me with your loving kindness. Bless the Lord. Saints, as you leave tonight, do you love all that he loves? Is your conscience tender? Is your memory fresh of past dealings that he's had with you? Is it fresh? Can you remember those personal times when he gave you just the right direction at the right time? Can you remember? Can you bless him with your memory? You know, there's one thing that happened to me once in my life that I remember that God has used through the days to cause my heart to look back and say, there is where he spoke in a strong way. There was where I was convinced that was his will. And because I was convinced, I'll not turn aside from it now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He wants us to bless him with a total life lived out for him. That's how we will bless God. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. That'll be a blessing to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My body won't be presented unless my soul is right with him and has that desire to bless him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee tonight afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for the work that he accomplished at the cross. We thank thee, Father, for that
work of the forgiveness of sins, the work of redemption. You said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. We bless Thee for that. And then, our Father, we thank Thee that You've healed our soul's diseases and You daily load us with benefits. And our God, we thank Thee for the memory that You give, to remember that You directed us along the way, that You've taught us the ways of God, as well as having seen the acts of God in the goodness of God. O God, cause our souls to draw nigh and to bless the Lord, all that is within us. May we bless His holy name. We thank Thee for Him. We rejoice in all that's been accomplished through Him. And tonight we bring our praise and our thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.